Joe Parisia. The largest reactor in Europe, in eastern Ukraine, has been attacked a bunch the last 4+ years of the proxy NATO-Russia war in Ukraine. Now Ukraine's taking credit for hitting with drones and missiles. Yeah, there it is on fire. And this is total insanity. And you got strikes all over deep into Russia, some of the biggest ever. So the war is going into high gear. And then we've got Trump, and we'll get to that clip in a moment, threatening to nuke Iran, saying it will be a smoldering, glowing crater. Now, he said that a month ago, and I said, if he keeps doing that, we'll destroy your whole culture in one day, never return, kill you all. That's war crime talk. That's 25th Amendment. Stop it. Didn't say 25th Amendment. I said, that's crazy. And the next day he said, no, I don't mean nukes. Now he's doing it again. And, of course, the strait is still closed 70 days in. Well, today's the 70th day. And everything we predict has come true. And the world is just escalating into this full world war, because that's what happens when an economic system comes to an end. Ukraine steps up strikes on Europe's largest nuclear power plant, IAEA confirms. As Ukraine strikes deeper inside Russia, Putin retreats further into paranoia. Ukraine drone strikes hit nuclear power plant, Baltic port. Ukraine strikes Russia's port again as environmental crisis deepens. Ukraine ramps up attacks on Russian oil, aiming to curb Iran war windfall. So more cutting off the oil, which the globalists love, which hurts the people. Alarmed, raised as two drones crash into NATO country after crossing from Russia. Okay. Oil Refinery Defense Technology Center struck in large-scale Ukraine attacks across multiple Russian regions. So things are only getting worse. They're only escalating. You had Saudi Arabia and Kuwait 2 days ago, 4 days ago, tell them it broke 2 days ago, saying you can't use our airspace. And now Trump goes, oh, we're in the end of offensive operations is here. The war is over. Ending. And then now you have U.S. ships and Iranian ships shooting each other and all these ships being damaged on both sides. I've got stacks of news on that coming up. And then Trump's response is, they better watch out or all of Iran will be a big glowing crater. What does that? And when I first saw it this morning, I thought, should I say that's a nuclear threat? I said, clearly it is, or some other super weapon. And then even corporate press said Trump issues a new nuclear threat. I mean, there's nothing else that can be. Here's the clip.
President, after these strikes, is the ceasefire with Iran still on?
Yeah, it is. It's they trifled with us today. We blew them away. They trifled. I call that a trifle. I'll let you know when there's no ceasefire. You won't have to know. If there's no ceasefire, you're not going to have to know. You're just going to have to look at one big glow coming out of Iran. And they better sign their agreement fast.
Yes, could you give us an update on what is the latest in those talks?
No, the talks are going very well, but they have to understand if it doesn't get signed, they're going to have a lot of pain. They're going to have a lot of pain. They want to sign it. I will tell you. They want to sign it a lot more than I do.
Wow. And Donald Trump's like, oh, this is a short war. Look, Afghanistan, you know, lasted 20-something years. Iraq war, you know, lasted 15 years. Vietnam war, you know, all this stuff. Oh, Civil War, 5 years. Oh, World War II, 4 years. Oh, Korean War, you know, 3 years. War of 1812, 2 years. It's just like, oh, it's okay. I thought it wasn't a war. I thought we'd already won. Thought the strait didn't matter. Truth is, every analyst agrees, Trump believed Israel, believed Netanyahu, got set up. This is a disaster for the economy, bare minimum. Trump says world will see one big glow from Iran if deal not reached. We'll be right back with key information from Edward Dowd. Stay with us.
So much work goes into this, and it's all funded by you going to thealexjonesstore.com. So this is a fundraiser time right now. We need to be raising funds because we are launching into the next stage of our, you know, rocket trip. We've shed one booster, and now the new one's firing up, and we need you to fill our tank and give us the fuel to get to that next level. So please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. There is a mega sale going on right now. You're getting 40% off methylene blue tincture, methylene blue caps, Ultra DNA Revival, Shilajit caps and gummies, up to 35% off methylene red tincture, colostrum, and MK Ultra, and you're getting 30% off all apparel, shirts, hats, hoodies, and everything else. You know, what we sell you at thealexjonesstore.com are just like these amazing naturally occurring vitamins, minerals, supplements, just CMOS and Shilajit. It just is like God's gift to humanity. At some point, humanity discovers it, and get it at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tomorrow's news today.
And it's time for humanity to stand up in the info war and say, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this, but you want to fight? You better believe you've got one!
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones. Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on the Alex Jones Show.
So whether it's China, the EU, the United States, all major governments use the same fractional reserve banking, derivative scams. They use Ponzi schemes to enrich themselves. They pass the inflation and debt on to us. And they've known for decades that right around this time, it was all actuaried out with the baby boomers, not just here, but around the Western world, going into the Neverland, that things would collapse at this point unless they had a reset. So they started saying, by the 70s, we'll use a virus to bring in world government, lock people down, teach young people to basically be prisoners, and live under austerity. And you got Bill Gates, even publicly, but also in the Epstein files that just came out. So we got rid of the poor people. So their answer is, call us. The answer is, replace us. But in the last 6 years, COVID blew up in their face. So now they're trying the Hunta virus. They're trying war. They're trying racial division. All of this has come out in the WikiLeaks, you name it, that they're using racial division, all of it, for control. But if we transcend it and are aware of it, it's game over. So going back like 5 years ago, I started interviewing Edward Dowd, who's been HSBC, Donaldson, Lufkin, BlackRock, really, great analyst. And he said, oh, I've got these top actuarialists at top insurance companies that are going to go public. They're my whistleblowers of tens of millions dead from the COVID shots. This is even 4+ years ago. Then he brought out the whistleblowers. They were the top people. They testified to Congress. They tried to suppress the information. And now we see all these congressional hearings the last few months confirming they knew the shots erased your immune system, killed millions of people. And they just hope we forget about it. And then now Fauci and Hotez last year said, don't worry, a new pandemic will threaten Trump. They tried the mousepox, and they tried the Zika virus, and they tried the bird flu and all this other fear-mongering. They're clearly, from what I've seen, are trying to hype us up with the Hunta virus. And suddenly, this strain jumping into humans. Now it's all over the world popping up. They used a cruise ship. I said last week, looks like this is the setup. So they're trying a new pandemic. We have a clip of Tedros at the WHO saying, oh, see, we need our world treaty. We need our UN medical dictatorship. See, you better take this serious. So I think they're grasping at straws. I don't think anybody buys it. So I want to get into the medical tyranny, pandemic 2.0 news. I want to get into predictions. He's had an incredible record of predictions with Edward Dowd on the economy, the war, Trump, and so much more. Again, Edward Dowd is our guest. Find him at his website and on Twitter at Dowd E. Edward, or Dowd Edward, D-O-W-D Edward. and so much more. So a lot to cover. We'll also get into the UFO nothing burger and what he thinks is behind that. Edward, great to have you here with us today. Thank you so much.
Alex, good to see you again. Thanks for having me on.
What do you want to tackle first? Iran, the Strait, the nuclear reactor getting attacked and on fire in Ukraine, attacked by Ukraine. You want to get into the madness of Trump. You want to get into the new virus scare, all the vindication of the vaccine being a bioweapon, a depopulation weapon. There's so much, but it's all part of a larger picture, isn't it?
Yeah, let's set the frame. I don't know if people remember this, but about two or three years ago, the WEF wrote a paper called Polycrisis, where they predicted not only would we potentially have pandemics, we would have cyber attacks, war, and all sorts of natural disasters. So what do we have going on right now? We have war, we have alien disclosure, we have a new pandemic, and we have cyber attacks being seeded into the news flow. We had Scott Bessent talking about, a couple of weeks ago, be careful, AI could steal money from your banks. AI could, cause a financial crisis, yada, yada, yada. So here we are. The poly crisis is upon us, and it basically flooded the field. And talking about this Honda virus, there's been the monkeypox, the bird flu. But this one seems to have gone operational. And why do I say that? That's because it's all over Maui local FM radio. People on the beach that are low informational voters and don't know anything that I talk to are asking me about the Hanta virus. This has definitely been seeded into the mind of the normie, and it's what they're going to do with it remains to be seen. But people are talking about it at a rate that I can't even believe. When the assassination attempt happened a couple of weeks ago on Trump, I'd say 50% of the people that I'm friends with, I call them peripheral friends, had no idea it happened and didn't believe it anyways. So here we are. This Hanta virus is operational as far as I'm concerned.
Elaborate on that.
Well, it's the fact that there's stories are popping up everywhere simultaneously. First of all, we get a video from a guy trapped on the boat. Then all of a sudden, people are off the boat in all different countries spreading the disease. None of this makes any sense. And if it's an attempt at a PSYOP, it's a poorly orchestrated PSYOP. Because on its face, it doesn't make any sense to me. That people are investigating, journalists are looking into the cruise ship. It's a smaller cruise ship. There's ties between the influencer who put out that video, the people who own the boat, may own biolabs. There's just so much nonsense going on. And the fact that the WHO got involved so quickly and can say with authority that it's spreading human to human how do you test it that fast? How do you get these samples into the labs? I mean, this is a joke as far as I'm concerned.
Now, what you're talking about is something I knew about with Operation Mockingbird that was declassified in 77. They had new names for it. They repealed the Smith-Mundt Act for the CIA, run by the big tax-free foundations, to engage in propaganda. But when you see 10,000 articles published, because it's all coordinated, the same second you can check the publication day, that's a deep state official order that goes out. And I was targeted by this system where some days there'd be 20,000, 30,000 articles. People say, how's that possible? Well, AP would be 20,000 of them. It would just be in every radio station, every newspaper, every local news station. They know people still have more trust for local news, so they pump it out. And that's exactly what I saw. Going back last week, the weekend, here's this ship. What's going on? They're introducing it. Hanta virus is spreading to humans. 3 dead. Then suddenly it spreads in Singapore and Israel and the UK and Argentina and all over the world and deaths and all this. And, the EU says, put on your mask. And Tedros says of the WHO, see, we need power. We told you. You can see the giant PR rollout. That's what's happening. Do we know all the specifics? Do we know it's a real virus? Do we know they're just making it up? We don't know at this point. But exactly, we see a major rollout. And then let's play clip 42. Then the head of the WHO, with his long history of being a Bill Gates minion, he comes out and says, all these countries not signing on to our treaty, not giving us our world ID, vaccine ID, you should reconsider now that you see this Hanta virus. People should ask, how do we see emergency boats and at the ship, and oh God, they can't be allowed on land, and then They're in Singapore. They're in Texas. They're it's again, you can, and then Trump's like, don't get hysterical. It's not going to be a problem. Who knows what's even going on? Here's the clip of Trump.
Health security needs universality.
For Tedros.
And any vacuum, any space which is not covered actually gives advantage to the virus. And the best immunity we have is solidarity. So because of the event that's happening now, and, you know, both Argentina and the U.S. are affected.
By the way, hit pause. I'm going to get to Trump in a minute saying it's not a big deal, don't panic, no lockdowns. But this is Tedros. Notice he says the best thing we have is, is solidarity. That means don't question, do what we say, 14 days, stay in your house to flatten the curve that turns into 3 years. Again, it's like, do what we say. You should have listened to us. See, we told you. Not, why is this suddenly everywhere? Why is it spreading magically 18,000 miles apart? I mean, this is, like you said, it's badly rolled out, but it's clearly rolled out. Here it is. Start over.
Health security needs universality. And any vacuum, any space which is not covered actually gives advantage to the virus. And the best immunity we have is solidarity. So because of the event that's happening now, and, you know, both Argentina and the U.S. are affected, I think they will reconsider their decisions, because they can see how important universality is for health security, because viruses don't care about our politics, and they don't care about our borders, and they don't care about, you know, all the excuses that we may have. So I hope this could be a good lesson for the whole world, because solidarity is our best immunity. I repeat. Thank you.
So, overhead shot. When you see Tedros, you need to understand who funds the vast majority of all of the WHO. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Next is the United Kingdom, all part of the same thing. Then Gabby, which Gates is the main funder of. Then the German government. So this is literally them pushing this. I want to get Edward Dowd's take on this. But first, here's Trump saying, no, we are not going to lock down. No lockdowns, no matter what. That's good. That's a good first position to this. Here it is.
Have you been briefed on the virus?
Yes, I have. Well, I think you're going to be told everything, and you already have. It's very much, we hope, under control. It was the ship, and I think we're going to make a full report about it tomorrow. We have a lot of people, a lot of great people are studying it. It should be fine. We hope. I hope not. I mean, I hope not. We'll do the best we can, yeah.
So, Edward, a big deal. I totally agree with you. There's no doubt this is an attempted rollout of a new hysteria.
Yeah. The other thing that I find curious is, like you said and alluded to earlier, the boat, I believe, originated from Argentina, which is not part of the WHO treaty, and a lot of the passengers are U.S. So there you go. So that also, you know, is very suspicious and coincidental. Additionally, Moderna apparently has been working on a vaccine for a virus that basically has 30 cases a year. You do not make a vaccine for that small amount of market. It just doesn't make any economic sense unless you think.
And it's an mRNA vaccine.
Correct. So why would you let's use logic. 30 cases a year, 50 cases, whatever it is. It's a small number that you cannot recoup any of the development costs ever in the lifetime. For 10,000 years, it would take you 10,000 years to recoup their development, unless you had inside info that there was going to be an outbreak of it that transmitted from human to human. That's very lucky guess, is my estimation. So this, and then the BBC put out a report yesterday that scientists in Bath are working on a vaccine. This is for me, having gone through COVID. This is more poorly rolled out than COVID, and this is a joke. It doesn't make any logical sense. If anybody just steps back and thinks about it for a second, the sequence of events, the speed with which people are popping up all over with the Hantavirus, you know, first of all, I thought the cruise ship was at sea. some guy puts out a video. Next thing you know, there are cases everywhere. I'm kind of laughing.
Let's use logic. The ship just got back to port a few days ago, and now in Singapore, Israel, the UK, Argentina, magically something that has at least a 30-day incubation, they're saying, is suddenly people are sick, people are dying. That just on its face is not true.
It makes no sense. There was the reports of a flight attendant who had contact recently with someone and all of a sudden supposedly has it. You know, this is the most poorly rolled out logical operation I've ever seen. But the problem is the low information person is talking about it because they're being overwhelmed by MKUltra and the flooding of the zone. I have a lot of friends that are low informational people that I use to get the pulse of what's really going on. And the fact that these people are aware of it is all I need to know. Most these people have no idea what's going on in the world.
So what do you expect to happen?
I think what they're going to do is, I believe somewhere there's a war room that analyzes all of social media. And when they try these rollouts, they statistically try to figure out how many people will end up buying this and whether they can get compliance going forward. I'm hoping there's enough of us now that are awake and all the people who took the vaccine who have been injured and now turning tail on the mRNA vaccines. There's enough of a critical mass where they realize that they can't go operational on this. So I think they're wargaming this. They're looking at social media reactions. And they're trying to figure out whether to proceed with this operation or not.
I 100% agree. This is a beta test to see if we'll buy it. They've activated the low information consumers to get them scared, and they're sitting back and seeing if we'll buy it before they go to the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. But it also, look, this also is very coincidental with what's going on economically, financially, the war. Look, the economy has been dead before Trump took office. They basically kept the economy afloat the last 2 years of Biden administration with illegal aliens. When you drop in 20 million people, the bulk of which came in 23 and 24, and give them basically freebies, free shelter and food and whatever, they then pump that back into the economy. We think about $1.5 trillion of our treasure was put into this operation in the form of payments to NGOs and actual payments directly to the illegal aliens. That floated the housing market for a little longer. Trump came in, shut down the border, and rental prices have been plummeting ever since. We have a deflationary scenario with an oil shock in the middle of it. So inflation was coming down. We're going to see credit issues in the economy. Housing market was rolling over. Private credit before the war started to blow up. It's frozen effectively. So credit is kind of shrinking from the economy. The payroll numbers we've discovered are basically fraud the last 2 years. The estimates, when reality catches up 8 months later, the revisions are massive. So you can't even trust a non-farm payroll estimate. Today's number showed a beat. Underneath the surface, it was a joke. The birth death model, which is a plug, was 391,000 positive. The headline number came
in. So talk to us like we're 5 years old. Is it really good? Guy that's able to predict things in the economy. How is Trump's recovery plan going? How does the Strait of Hormuz affect that? What are you seeing in the trends right now for the economy?
Well, Trump had an opportunity to sit down with the American people and say, what I'm going to do is going to cause, we're going to get rid of the fraud. We're going to stop the illegal aliens. That was the marginal producer for the economy. And we're going to have a recession. But my trade policies will eventually turn this around. Right now, there's no evidence of the trade policies bringing manufacturing back to the U.S. economy. In fact, underneath the hood, manufacturing jobs were minus 2,000 for the month of April. So the economy is not turning on. We're now getting reports from McDonald's and shake steak or whatever the hell it is. The consumer is running out of money at the end of the month, so they're reporting devastating decline in sales. So the average consumer is running out of money. Auto delinquencies are going up, credit card delinquencies, mortgage foreclosures, and mortgage delinquencies are all rising. Home prices under the Biden administration were floated by the Federal Reserve funny money. They all went up in price, and then the illegal demand. That's all fictitious. Home prices are 30% overvalued. They cannot be, the average millennial cannot buy from a boomer at these prices. So the only correction is prices going down. They are. It's now cheaper to rent a house than it is to buy. That's normally not the case. So we all know a slow motion train wreck in housing is coming. And so we have kind of a mini housing crisis that's rolling through the economy. We have an AI bubble, the likes of which I've never seen. Let me explain this simply. It's like the gold rush in San Francisco and California. The people who got rich on the gold rush were the guys who sold you the picks and the shovels. Those are the semiconductor companies like NVIDIA, what have you. Companies that are buying all these picks and shovels don't have any revenues on the other side to support infrastructure spend. So there's a lot of excitement. There's a quote-unquote gold rush. People are excited about the future, but the returns are not there. Eventually, this crashes, and it's going to take the stock market down with it. The stock market was already rolling before the war, but the war kind of actually saved the stock market for a little bit because everybody started focusing on the war and the Trump headlines. We've gone to a new all-time high, but it's a very narrow market. It's basically, right now, as of today, it's semiconductor stocks. A very narrow part of the market. They're now 19% or 16 or 17% of the S&P 500.
So when that bubble pops, what are we going to see?
We're going to see stock market volatility. The reality of the economy will start to, become apparent in the earnings of the companies in the majority of the S&P. And we'll go into a two-year bear market is my prediction. And it's going to happen soon. Next week is going to be very interesting. We put out an inflation report. So inflation is core inflation is coming down because the economy is collapsing, but headline inflation is going to spike because of the oil price shock. It did this in the 70s. It did this during the
So is that stagflation?
Yeah. So it's like a bullwhip. So you get this oil shock. It causes a lot of prices to go up, especially gasoline. It's a tax on the consumer. And then that causes demand destruction on the other side. So you have an inflation spike. Then on the other side, you have demand destruction. So inflation will roll over. The price of oil will roll over. That all depends upon whether the resolution of the war is anytime soon. We have two scenarios. One where oil goes to $125 or it goes to $250. Either way, eventually, it just destroys demand destruction.
And Trump obviously knows this. I know insiders at the White House for over a month are telling him stop the war. Trump has to know this is going to derail his recovery, clearly. And what will this do to the midterms? We'll talk about that when we come back. We got about 30 seconds, though. I mean, this is going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah, the only thing that really matters, and I'm a market guy, so I'm always on the margin. Forget about the MAGA cultists and forget about this or that. It's always the person on the margin. And the economy is always king when it comes to the person on the margin. Trump won because real wage growth going into the election was minus 2%. That was a big reason why he won. Clinton, same reason he won in 92 and Reagan in 1980.
And then when Trump doesn't deliver, he holds the bag. Let's come back and talk about that and how the average person can navigate this and the bad to worse situation we're in. Stay with us. Have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense, and we have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us at Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator after he chops up the four guys just a few seconds. He says, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. There's people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos and Paul revere it. We appreciate you. Okay? So you got like copper, on the bottom. At least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all, and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently. Slashing their throats nonviolently. Stabbing ice picks in their heads nonviolently. Cutting their heads off nonviolently. Ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy. The spirit of resistance and victory. And they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, God, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at thealexjonesstore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
You know, I've wanted Trump to succeed. I know every doubt has as well. And I know most of the listeners are very intelligent and informed. That's why you tune in. Not because you don't already know this, but you want to tune in to hear what else, you know, we have to say and kind of have a mental debate. I love callers. I love guests because I learn things from them. We bounce things off. It takes us to a higher level of understanding. If anybody who's ever studied history, this is like baked in. 2 years ago at the World Government Forum in Dubai, Elon Musk addressed him and he said, I know at the end of a cycle, we always have a war, but we can't do that because of nuclear weapons, plus there's 10 million people and all the studies that will cause mass migration and many wars, and even the elites will all be killed. So we need stability, which is why the old game of the nobles when they had uprisings to have a war with each other can't be done anymore. And the best example of this is the 100-year war between the Norman cousins, who were just Vikings that took over France and most of Europe and had taken over William the Conqueror before. And so for 100 years, they have a war, and there's letters between them. The real troops are dying, real people are being killed, but they are doing it to stop uprisings at home. Okay, so in fact, I just read another book. I'll listen to it on tape. I never have time to read anymore when I'm driving. A great book I want to do a review of. On the 100-year war, because I was listening to book and tape. But the point is that they're doing this to be the victors, to be the saviors, to control things, to be in charge of the next system. Well, we know the next system, a global cashless society, austerity, feudalism, control. Trump was the promise of going against that, and at many levels did, killing the carbon tax, you name it. But starting about 10 months ago when Elon left and then Charlie Kirk died a few months later, things changed dramatically. And I think it's clear that the Israel lobby that's always been powerful saw the Democrats collapsing, sees the fourth turning, and is really trying a hostile takeover of the United States. And then to commit us to war and somehow bind us together, believing we'll come out on top. It is true megalomania. So just big picture, Edward, I know you like to get into just facts. But overall, how would you quantify or give a summation of where we're at right now with all of this hysteria? And how would you riff off of what I just said?
Yeah, basically, you know, 6 years ago, the global economy was rolling over and there was going to be a global financial crisis. COVID magically appeared and the Federal Reserve and other central banks printed Federal Reserve did $6 trillion, handed out stimmies, and they kicked the can down the road. Here we are 6 years later, and that stimulus has worked its way through the system. The Fed has raised interest rates. We're now in a contracting credit situation. And there's another crisis coming. So, you know, how do you distract or paper over these crises, war, aliens, you name it. You can't blame the system. You can't blame the policymakers. And that's where we are. And that's why you see all this madness and mayhem. Trump had an opportunity to be honest with the American people, talk about what he was going to do, get rid of the fraud. What I find super interesting, Alex, is Elon was kicked out. I was like you. I was super excited at the beginning.
And then all of Trump's enemies, Zuckerberg, all of them were brought in.
Yeah. And all this fraud was amazing to us in Doge. And next thing you know, it shut down. And I think what they discovered is, I think they're tackling the fraud, but they're doing it slowly. Because if you shut off the fraud too quickly, the economy collapses. Because a big contributor to our economy is fraud. That's the sad fact.
Well, that's what the New York Times told Trump last year. They said, don't declare the drug cartels terrorists. That'll crash the stock market.
You can't. I mean, this is where we are. We can't have a stock market where it is and people happy because there needs systemic fundamental change.
But it sounds like you just said Trump is the lesser of two evils. And I am seeing real signs of him cutting off the drug money, cutting a lot of the fraud. But Elon, they thought, was doing a little too quick.
Yeah, that's what I think. And, you know, I'm not in the room, but I just sit outside and watch what people do and not what they say. But once Elon was kicked out, everything shifted. And if you look at the deportations, the mass deportations have not come. In fact, the numbers of deportations under Trump were lower than, Obama and Biden in one year.
But they were still exactly. But now they're even lower than what he was doing 6 months ago. So now they're slowing more.
Correct. So it's slowing more. The good news is they stopped the border. So like that's a second derivative change. So there's no more flooding the zone with these people. But there seems to be this, let's manage this process, because they know if you start deporting millions of people and those people get, you know, turned off from their fraud spigots, the economy is going to take a hit on that. Now, that my biggest problem with all this is, you know, we have to have some short-term pain for long-term gain. There seems to be no appetite for any short-term pain by anyone in the administration. And Trump,
exactly. So what would you do to get, what would you tell Trump? Because he should be more concerned about not doing the shock therapy or whatever you want to call it, because obviously if this continues, it's far more dangerous than the short-term pain.
Right. Look, if I could go, if I was his right-hand man day one, I'd tell him to implement all the policies that he promised us that this would cause economic pain, to communicate that with the American people and talk about what's coming on the other side. Reagan had a similar situation. Reagan had a double dip recession in 81 and 82. Then his policies took hold and then we ripped and we had an amazing recovery.
And he told the public it's going to take a few years.
Correct. So this was not done. It's an opportunity lost. Trump is going to, unfortunately, own what's coming. I mean, it's not all his fault, but, it doesn't matter. At this point, 2 years in, he's going to own it.
Sure, I totally agree with you. Totally on target. Next level. The Israel thing. You know, I don't fetishize bashing Israel, but clearly they're really trying to put their dick on the table right now. What happened there? It's just that Netanyahu's been convicted and indicted. He just needs a crisis. I mean, this is mad dog behavior by Israel.
Well, I put out a post in August of 24 before the election, saying that if I were the globalists, I would embrace MAGA and bridle them and infiltrate or bribe my way into the Trump administration. And, you know, that seems to have happened because, look, at the beginning of the war, let's go with what happened on day one of the war. Both Rubio and Trump said they did it because Israel was going to do it anyways. So let's go back to day one. They've changed their story since then, but it seems like they were dragged into this by Israel.
Israel struck first. Israel drug us. And Israel, every time he has a ceasefire, attacks to break it. No, that's a true statement by Rubio.
Yeah. So here we are. We're involved in this. You know, this is going to end up being a strategic disaster. Well, let's talk about the war for a second. It's an analyst that I follow that gives me, you know, free access to his newsletter. He's a global war expert. He's been giving us information for like 4 years. He called this platforms versus projectiles, and that we have all these platforms, carriers, planes, bases, systems, and Iran has projectiles because Iran has no ambition to take over other countries. Those projectiles are designed to protect the homeland. They're cheaper. They can be mass produced. They're drones now. So all our platforms are at risk from these projectiles. And that's why there's, you know, as much as Trump talks about the Navy's gone, this is gone, that's gone, the projectiles and the missile capability and the drone capability are not. And here we are. And we're going to stay that way for a long time. Plus, you know, so the Navy's gone, but you can drop mines with
they got missiles and artillery. It's only 12 miles across. Anybody with a basic first grade understanding of military stuff knows they would always control it unless you got regime change. And the Pentagon told Trump this was going to happen, but he didn't listen to them.
Right. So, you know, look, the best thing that could happen is if, you know, Trump declares victory and we withdraw and they open up the thing. Absent that, this is only going to cause a global energy crisis. You know, look, I'm being kind. You know, our projections are for a deep global recession. But
I was about to say, how much is baked in 70 days into this already? How much? I mean, if it all stopped today, how bad will it be?
It's like the 73 oil embargo. Okay. The stock market didn't react until 6 months after the embargo ended. So the damage is done and it's rolling through the system. People think the stock market is like this great forecasting mechanism. It's not. It's people in equities are the dumbest people on the planet compared to fixed income.
Exactly. I mean, it's downstream from big events, right?
It's downstream. You know, let's look at what happened in 08. Most people don't remember this, but we had a housing crisis. Bear Stearns blew up in March of 08. But what people don't remember is, you know, the big investing theme after the dot-com bubble was energy and China growth. And oil went from like $90.95 to $140 up into June, July of 08. That was a mini oil shock. And that's when the wheels really fell off the bus and accelerated. We have a dot-com bubble, a housing bubble, and now an oil price shock. Oh, and I haven't even talked about China. China is an absolute disaster. Mm-hmm.
Trump admin saying, oh, China's in trouble. We're great. And Rubio, who cares? We have our fertilizer. The rest of the world doesn't. It all is interconnected. That is, I mean, as much as I don't like to call them Chinese, I don't want them to implode. They'll definitely take us with them. Where is I'm not an economist like you, but this is basic stuff. I knew this when I was 10 years old.
China is in trouble. They're hitting the acute phase of their real estate crisis. They're in a demographic decline, the likes of which is scary. It's 10x bigger than the demographic decline that happened in Japan. So what have they been doing since their demographic decline started in 2020? They've been exporting their way out of it because internal consumption is faltering. So to keep their GDP growth going and keep people employed, they're dumping products onto the markets. And that's why we have these trade wars. So they're exporting deflation, and that can't stand because they'll ruin the economies of everybody else. So now we're at the point where the acceleration of the real estate crisis is really hitting.
And what will China do when the back's against the wall? The hardline generals will be in control. They'll invade Taiwan as a diversion.
Absolutely, because let me tell you what's going on. There were reports coming out, and this coincides with our economic data, but we just got the March data. We put out a report in January. We just got the March data for China. All our trends are accelerating negatively. Net fixed investment went below zero for the first time.
You're talking about, let me stop because this is so important. You have the floor. You're talking about a perfect storm. I'm getting chills up my spine. Explain what this means. All these factors, I've never in modern history seen anything like this.
Right, and people aren't talking about this. We literally have, okay, let's go over it again. We have a housing crisis.
Of course, right when Edward Dow goes, the most key part, his Zoom freezes, reconnect to him. Guys, this is a really smart analyst, but this is all, like he's telling you, this is easy. This is not speculation, okay? This is really bad, and that's why I needed Trump to not get in wars and to get the jobs back here so we'd be the best house in a bad neighborhood. It was still going to be rough, as Dowd said. We're still going to have corrections. Now it is just, and they're going to have a virus on top of it. Oh, the virus is the reason there's no food and you're locked in your house. I mean, this is so uncool. And then all of you warmongering neocon slobs that said we're going to win in 4 days and all that, you don't research, you don't know what you're talking about, you don't understand the threat escalation ladder, you don't know what you're talking about. You're going to get us all killed. You're idiots. Sorry, Edward Dowd, you're back. You said, let's go back over it because I've been interrupting. Recap all the points of this perfect storm and what's coming next.
All right, this is before the war, we had a housing crisis coming, an AI bubble like the dot-com bubble, and we had China going into the acute phase of its crisis. The fourth factor is now an oil price shock. All accelerated. And oil, you know, China relies on oil. This is even worse for China. What's interesting is all the China data is accelerating down in the March numbers. What's even worse is there was a YouTube video that I think is very factual that talked about the migrant worker issue in China. There's about 300 million migrant workers that after Chinese New Year go to from the villages to the cities to do work in the factories and construction, what have you. They couldn't find jobs. About 30 million of them had to return home. And I'm telling you know this, if their people aren't employed and there's a societal unrest, they will go to war and Taiwan is on the table. So this is a perfect storm. And it's forget about the stock market and the new all-time highs. We're only 5% above the highs we put in October and January of this year. Stock market's essentially gone nowhere. It's gotten even more narrow. 45% of the market cap of the S&P 500 is AI. That's the only thing that's growing in this economy. That's what's holding up the GDP. And we know how this ends.
How long can the AI bubble go?
It could go for a couple more months, or it could end this week. Next week is a very important week, in my humble opinion. There's two things going on. The April CPI comes out on May 12th, and that's going to be very telling. We have a 4.1% estimate, which is well above consensus. We think we're right. Consensus is 3.5. That'll cause the bond markets to freak out temporarily. The stock market might take a hit. But more importantly, Kevin Warsh, the new Fed chair, is coming in on the 15th. And traditionally, when there's a switchover from Fed chair to Fed chair, the stock market, for some reason, gets whacked. So we have a perfect storm setting up here. New Fed chair, he's going to get baptism by fire, 2 days after he's anointed, because the CPI report, if we're right, if our 4.1% estimate's right, people are going to freak out. But that's temporary. Deflation will be what comes next. So it's an inflation stagflation roller coaster. And on the other side of this is demand destruction and recession and midterms and you name it. It's going to get crazy.
It's going to get crazy. So for people that don't understand, explain to them slowly. This is a key thing, and I explain this to even people that have PhDs. They don't get it when it's in mainline history of war. Why do empires and powerful governments or countries, when they have domestic rebellions, when the bubble's coming to an end, when they have a famine, why do they attack somebody? Why do they attack a neighbor? I mean, I know, I'll give my answer. It's very obvious. It mobilizes people. They stop fighting internally. They unify behind the government against the outside enemy. It allows them to control resources more. And divert attention away, and it consolidates, again, more power. And then if the country is successful conquering the outside nation, it's able to absorb its resources, and it's a confidence game for other countries that then shores up confidence, and they can usually bring in a new currency or a new reset. But this is what always happens. But it seems like the public in general, even in educated people, don't understand this, that this is not just a cycle, it's pretty much a fact.
Yeah, this is central banking war cycle 101. You get to the end of a long cycle, and you can't float the debt. You can't keep your population happy and fed, so you go to war because you can't blame yourself. And
that's like
a
Goodfellas when the guy gets a loan from the mafia. They ship all the money through it for years, don't pay the bills, declare bankruptcy, and then burn it down.
Correct. It's right out of the scene from Goodfellas. That's a great analogy. I love it. That's where we are. We're at the Goodfellas stage.
So what do we do? Do you think Trump could listen? Because I know some of this gets through to him, but then he goes right back to listen to Mark Levin, which they're not even thinking about the global economy. Israel's really thinking about its own narrow, Likudnik view. These people are idiots. Then they call us Iranian agents because we understand the economy.
You know, look, the devastation that's going to come from the humanitarian perspective just doesn't justify us, you know, debating Israel and this and that. I mean, Israel is a tiny country. Sure, they're an ally, but should we be doing going to war with Iran that's going to cause this much global pain, which was already coming anyways? It's just an accelerant. This is just an accelerant. And you know, I'm beside myself watching this go on and watching the Trump administration falter. And you know, some of his people gaslight us. I mean, you know, they're gaslighting us on the non-farm payroll numbers today. How great the numbers are! They keep pointing to the stock market. The stock market is going to turn on them so hard and so fast. It's going to make their heads.
Well, just briefly in closing, what about the UFO thing? I predicted, just like the Epstein thing, they would give us a bunch of old recycled crap, and they did. I mean,
The UFO thing is a distraction. You were right. They gave us crap. But if this is going to be a story that keeps going and they release more and more and more, what I'm watching is the narrative and the framing of the narrative. Whatever the framing of the narrative is designed to lead the public to an outcome.
And they're saying this will end Christianity and God isn't real. They have all these known preachers on government payroll. So what is the psyop to say your faith will be shaken? What are you seeing from the narrative?
Well, let's say they seem to be going with interdimensional beings, mm-hmm. As opposed to, you know, otherworldly planetary intelligence. Let's say it's interdimensional beings. The Bible calls them demons and angels. Okay, and so you're going to tell me that angels have been talking to government officials? No, angels don't talk to government officials. Demons talk to government officials.
Right.
So this shouldn't shake anyone's faith. If they're going to go with interdimensional beings,
I was about to say this strengthens my faith. That's exactly what the Bible explains.
Exactly.
The Bible says demons are in control of the high powers of the government and literally advise and control the people for Satan.
Now, to your point, I heard you. I was watching your show earlier, and you're talking about these alien human hybrids. That's going to be nonsense. That we know that's a psyop. You're probably right. It's animal. Human hybrids, and they'll try it out as, you know, aliens. I'm going to watch what the framing of the narrative is and where they want to lead the public, and we know that's the wrong answer. You know, one other thing I want to bring up that I think is interesting. Has anyone noticed on the topic of the Iran war, I searched Elon's Twitter feed. He has not commented once pro or con on the war.
I noticed that. He's been completely neutral. What's that mean?
Well, so let's cut. So here's my speculation. And both could be right, one or the other. But first, he could be worried about SpaceX IPO. He doesn't want to catch the ire of Trump. So he's just, you know, being coy and wants to just get his IPO out, make it without, you know, Trump threatening him or showing any kind of disloyalty. The other thing is, what I noticed is there's a new algorithm on X that's really suppressed everybody's views. And we're kind of talking to an echo chamber. No one understands why things go viral anymore. What if the administration basically came to the social media companies, including Elon, and said, hey, we're going to war. There's going to be a lot of propaganda. And we want you guys to understand that we're not declaring a War Powers Act, but it's a soft War Powers Act. And you guys have to do what we say.
No, absolutely. And we know that's in law And I know that's what I noticed. And that's why I thought he's neutral, is he wants to stay out of it, not have his algorithm crushed, so he exempts himself from it. As soon as I started criticizing the war, it was like a giant wet blanket was thrown on me, which I continue to go on and do it. But 100%, the minute, and I noticed the people that are my friends, I know they are, they get talking points for the White House. I was invited into it. I didn't do it. As soon they just take the press release, and now they're bigger than ever. But I don't want to be a big puppet. So yeah, and when I think President Trump's wrong, if I thought the war was right, I'd get all behind it. But I saw it would be a failure. But absolutely, I mean, I don't think that's your opinion. I think that's what it is, Edward. Very astute.
Yeah, and one before I think we're running out of time, but before I go, here's another thing.
You got 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah, food for thought. I'm noticing very smart people in what we call FinTwit, financial Twitter, are starting to really look at this AI bubble and question some things. First of all, it's becoming apparent to most that there's no profit on the other side of this. These are commodity-like. Every AI engine is the same. You can switching costs are zero. So they're building commodity businesses that are going to have low returns. So there's going to be a big wipeout of a lot of the capital that was invested in this infrastructure. So the question is, why do they keep doing this if they know this? Is there and the administration seems to be rah-rah AI. Is this basically going to be the rush to do this without even the power to do it? Is the rush to create the surveillance system? Let's call AI what it's a surveillance system to get this in place before the collapse. Because
no, I agree. It's a surveillance control system. I agree. Its main primary mission is control of individuals, societies, and governments. They're rushing to get the straitjacket on us.
Right. And, you know, the big tell for us will be when these companies start imploding and the credit markets revolt, because all cycles are cycles.
Will the U.S. government nationalize the infrastructure?
Yeah. And if they do that, that's it. It's over. Your planetary prison system comes to reality.
Well, let me tell you what I know from insiders. It's already nationalized. It's all being directed under emergency powers. Trump didn't even understand his emergency powers the first time. They didn't tell him. They fought against him. They were smart like you predicted a few years ago. They came in, kissed his ass, and said, here's the keys, and just kissed his ass, and now he's become one of them. By I guess, expediency, but I don't even know it's conscious, but that's where we are.
Yeah, and so, AI is just going to be a digital surveillance system with some ability to solve some problems on the side.
Exactly. It's really a surveillance control grid, social credit score, and you can get funny pictures and videos out of it.
Yeah. So, you know, look, the good news is a lot of people are waking up. The bad news is there's going to be a lot of chaos. And my recommendation for people is,
Edward, hold on. I'm going to twist your arm. 5 more minutes and then Dark Journalist comes on the UFO disclosure, top expert. People can follow you on X right now at Dowd Edward. Everybody should. One of the smartest people out there. Back in 2 minutes to finish up on this. We just call balls and strikes, folks. Stay with us. That's why you support us. That's why you share the feeds. Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI, under Obama's command, launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, AlexJonesLive.com, and the link, AlexJonesApp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalists. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.